All right, we'll start with Orion on this one. Where do you stand on the proposed Juneau Access Road?
I think it's rather ludicrous. And I think it would benefit a mine and not really benefit the people of Skagway the way they have it proposed right now. The concept of being able to drive to Juneau for the day and come back, go to doctor's appointments, go to Costco is wonderful. We would all like to be able to do that, but this road is not a realistic possibility. We all see that these are fjords. There's 6,000 foot mountains that come straight into the water. As soon as that road was finished, they would have to be fixed. I also just don't really see the wisdom in having another ferry terminal, another boat that's not really gonna save you any time. Seems like you're gonna spend a lot of money, and who knows how that would change Skagway too. I've heard a lot of people in Haines say that it would turn Haines into a truck stop. And I think that the quaintness we have in Skagway comes from the difficulty it comes from getting here.
David?
Well, initially, when it was a hot topic, I supported the road. You know, now that its access into Skagway has been more or less blocked, and there would need to be a short ferry run from across from Haines, you know, I'm kind of indifferent to it. I think that the road to Whitehorse was a pretty great thing, and it's good to be able to drive up there and access the lakes in the Yukon and healthcare, those types of things. So, you know, by way of comparison, I'm not someone that thinks that the road would be this terrible maintenance monster or dangerous 100 slide thing. I mean, the road that goes to Whitehorse is largely safe and kept open probably 90 some percent of the time. I don't know, you know, I don't have a real strong opinion on it anymore. I don't think it's likely to occur, and in the format of it coming only to Katsaheen, it's not as desirable an option as, you know, having it come all the way up, so.
Tim?
It's been a pretty divisive issue in Skagway. I don't think it's not doable. I've been all over the world. I've been in Germany. The road here, like David said, Highway 101 in California. I mean, it's doable. The railroad was chopped out of the side of granite cliffs and had snow sheds and tunnels. I mean, it ran. This highway is open. I'm not necessarily a big proponent on spending hundreds of millions of dollars that the state doesn't have right now, but the state has been pigeonholing money for that. So I enjoy the ferry, but if they put a road in, I would use it. And I'm a little indifferent myself. I mean, if it's coming, people are going to use it, and that's exactly what happened to the Klondike Highway. There was people against it, and those people that were almost the loudest saying we're going to have the riffraff coming down, it's going to ruin Skagway, were the first to use it, and they were using it over and over. So I'm a little indifferent myself, but I don't see it. Just going to Katsaheen either. If it goes to Katsaheen, it's probably going to come on to Skagway. I think if the state pushes that far, they're going to push all the way to Skagway.
Assemblyman Dan Henry has continued to serve on the assembly following his conviction and sentencing on federal tax charges. Do you agree with the way the current assembly and mayor have responded to that situation? And we'll start with Tim.
Well, the mayor came right out and said, the legal counsel said that we did not have any legal course that that was required against city code to remove him or ask him. He did ask me my opinion, and I told him my opinion would be to resign immediately and get him behind me.
Orion?
I think Dan made a good plea bargain. I think that, you know, our borough attorney made the savvy advice that he's paid to give us, you know, proper legal counsel. We did, per our code, we could not remove him. I wish Dan had resigned. I think it's been embarrassing. I feel bad for Dan, and I feel bad for Skagway. But I don't think that anybody could force him to do that aside from himself. And that's really how our code is written. And, you know, I think that when you start forcefully bending rules for individual occasions, you're going to really regret that on the next occasion.
David?
Well, yeah, it's an unfortunate situation. When you see the variety of reporting that's done on it, it always refers to him as assemblyman. He's never a private individual, so it reflects on us as a city. He is chairman of the Finance Committee, which is particularly bad. And I'm not sure that the city attorney at the time he made the decision knew that Dan Henry had falsified his APOC forms. I consider that to be a violation of his oath of office, and I think the mayor should have called for a vote if Dan Henry did not voluntarily resign. The vote should have been put before the assembly.
Thank you. If Assemblyman Henry were to vacate his seat before the end of his term, would you, as an assembly member, if elected, support whichever candidate is not elected this October being appointed to that vacant seat? And we'll start with David.
Well, I'd support it if that's what the council, the assembly, and I believe it's in that scenario, it's a mayoral appointment is what it is. And, you know, I mean, I do think there's some ground to look at the way this whole thing works, because if you do have a situation where somebody resigns in, or is forced to resign in close proximity to an election, maybe it is a better idea to have the seat come before the public and be voted on. But I would support a mayoral appointment. That's the way the code's written now. And, you know, I do think there may be reasons to modify that a little bit. But, yeah, I'd support it as it is now.
Tim?
I support the way it is now as well. The reason I think I answered that question before on the forum thing. It would kind of depend on how the vote is. Sometimes take a scenario where David and Orion get 98% of the votes. I get 2%. That's saying that people don't want me in there. Should I just be appointed to an open seat? So I think you got to leave it up to the assembly. The assembly approves whatever appointment the mayor brings forward. The mayor doesn't just appoint someone. So it's a group decision of the assembly. So and I think that's the way the code is now, and that's, I'd support the code the way it is now.
Orion?
I agree with both of you. I think you have to uphold your code the way it stands. I actually have a pretty big objection to the way our code currently is. And this occurred 4 years ago when the mayor was elected from the assembly and he appointed his own replacement immediately after an election. I thought that was extremely undemocratic, kind of a slap in the voter's face that, you know, you've got somebody basically controlling two seats. And that's I think, a problem we have in the way our electoral process is followed through and executed. But in this situation, you know, the voters have, they're voting for two seats and there's three candidates. And after that, it's in the hands of the mayor. and then ratified by the assembly members. And I think we've got to hold true to where our code is written.
All right, we'll start with Orion on this one. The municipality has been meeting with the State Department of Environmental Conservation and other stakeholders on the contamination in the Oar Basin. What approach should the borough take to cleaning up that contamination? Who do you think should pay for the cleanup?
I think White Passport should pay the lion's share of it.
That's all you have to say?
I mean, that's, if you want a short answer, that's what I would tell you. I think the city should participate. I think ADA should take a big part in fixing the ship loader, since they are the ones who've let that thing gone to pieces. There's holes in the side of it. And then the city, you know, is probably going to have to pay most of the dock repair, which is going to have to go hand in hand with cleaning up the harbor. But you know, last 60 years, there's been, you know, the White Pass has had that lease, and I think White Pass should have to pay the lion's share of it.
David?
I think that the city should take the lead position in the cleanup. We've been waiting too long for something to happen, and the city is the owner of the land. Now, the responsible parties for the contamination can be identified, and I'm sure probably mostly have been, through core samples. And this is an issue that I don't think does anybody any good to try to say who's responsible and who's not. I think at some point it could very well be a legal issue. And so the city takes the lead. They facilitate the cleanup. And then there's engineering studies on who the responsible parties are for the contamination, and it goes to court, and they can divvy it up as they see fit. But the city should not be paying for $8 million of a $10 million cleanup. In my mind, that's ridiculous. The city is not a polluter. And if they are in some kind of way, they would be a small one. So we shouldn't be paying a considerable amount of money just to try to facilitate this cleanup. There's probably better ways to do it.
Tim?
Well, I agree that the city shouldn't be paying the majority by far. The railroad needs to negotiate, and they're willing to negotiate. But I think that when all said and done, the railroad is responsible for the lion's share as well. I would like to have a second opinion down there on whether or not we can get some sort of suction dredge to get some of that contamination out of there without taking the dock out immediately, if that's possible. We haven't got a second opinion. It's been shot down a couple times when I've mentioned that, so I would like to see if that's possible. If not, then go forward with removing the dock and taking the contamination out. But it seems to me, in this day and age of technology, we should be able to. That whole peninsula was built with a super sucker dredge, and it was brought up from the bottom, and that was all underwater at high tide, where Petro Marine and the Temsco helicopters and the ore terminal. That was all underwater at high tide when I was a kid. So, you know, they have means back then to do a lot of movement of material. Dewatering and decontaminating is another issue, but I think we should look at all avenues and definitely take the lead. If we don't, the regulatory agencies are going to make us do it. And they're going to give us a timeline and say this will be done such and such. So I hate to see a big court battle go years and years. I'd like to see it get cleaned up.
Do you think Skagway should be working to diversify its economy? If so, what could the municipality and the assembly do? And we'll start with Tim.
I'd like to see, you know, this some other shoulder season activities, some recreation, that would be great. There's plenty of room for entrepreneurs, but it all bases back on our visitors and, you know, Haynes has hella skiing. I don't know if we have much to offer for skiing here in the valley, but up above there's a lot. We have a lot more visitors in the winter now, so I think we can exploit that a little bit as well. We still have a lot of mining activity in the Yukon that's supposed to have an uptick. That's why the waterfront's so important in trying to diversify the waterfront. I don't know if I can expand on that any further or not.
Okay, David?
Well, I think it's a difficult issue. I mean, everybody would like to be more diversified as a town. It seems safer, and it probably is. But the solution to it is not easy, at least as far as what I've come across. And you know, the one area that I do think is still a real distinct possibility is expanding the mineral development that's coming out of the Yukon. Other than that, I mean, winter tourism, you know, it's just not that big of a thing in Skagway. And I think when you talk about diversification, you have to really keep in mind that I don't know, 90-some percent probably of our economy is tourism-based. And so I don't think we should get too distracted in diversifying, at least not at the expense of our main year-round industry, which is tourism.
Orion?
I think that Skagway doesn't benefit enough from the mining that comes through our port, and I'll be the first to say that I'm learning this as I go, but it seems like you've got some truckers who might eat food here, and you get a little bit of revenue that goes through, you know, the ore terminal with mineral services, and I don't think there's a whole lot of benefit for Skagway in terms of the mining, and I think we could probably negotiate a little bit better on that end. I also think we could, you know, I think there are some cottage industries that are starting to come up. You see Chris Ellis growing food that's being sold locally. You know, that's great. You know, we've got some entrepreneurs filing all their paperwork to grow marijuana and sell it right over on 3rd Street. Good or bad, that's a local industry all the way. It's grown here and it'll be sold here and technically consumed here. And I think that there could be some actual industrial cottage industries too, but a lot of the
at a fan club.
Sorry, that was my dad. A lot of the industrial land in Skagway is really used for tourism, and as David said, you know, most of our economy, 90-some percent of it, is based, driven by tourism. But, you know, I think that from a planning and zoning standpoint, we always try to reserve industrial land for industrial reasons, or at least have some sort of industrial activity and tied to it. And that's gotten very blurred over the years. And that makes it so it's hard for people who do have the initiative to do something other than drive a bus or, sell jewelry. I think we've become kind of pinholed in terms of what our town is. And I think we could be a little creative and look forward and come up with some things that provide different opportunities for people.
All right, we're going to wrap things up. Candidates, please share your final thoughts and tell voters what you would bring to the assembly if elected. And we'll start with David.
Well, once again, as I said at the beginning, I'm primarily running to try to address the waterfront-related issues. And I know an assembly in a small town is largely made up of lay people that are not professionals, but I'm very concerned that that we haven't been able to facilitate the cleanup on the waterfront, and I think that we have to immediately address the floating dock issue. And in a broader sense, we have to look at what we should do as a community in terms of controlling our own waterfront or not, re-engaging the White Pass or negotiating with Norwegian Cruise Lines. These should all be options that are flushed out. And as far as my particular skills, you know, I have 30 years of real estate appraisal experience in complex commercial issues, including docks, and this is a glaring hole in the negotiations that have occurred throughout the last 8 years, in that they haven't ordered or completed a market value analysis of the waterfront. And I also think that the current assembly is a little bit stymied by what to do next. You know, there seems to be a stalemate on the cleanup. The cleanup's almost being held hostage to other negotiations. I don't think that's appropriate. So my issue, the reason I'm running, is that I want to see these issues addressed. And really, to me, the other things that come up day to day are incidental.
Orion.
Thank you. Thanks, KHNS. First off, I am a strong proponent of land sales. Second, transparency. I think we can be a lot clearer and more honest with the public sometimes than what we present. And I say that from having attended dozens of meetings. And I'm complete agreement that cleanup of the harbor is paramount going forward. And the fourth thing I would say is I think we have to have moderate expectations for all of the capital projects that are being proposed, because we have some real fiscal troubles coming ahead, and we need to be cautious and not spend so freely, because we don't know where the state's going and it doesn't look good. But I think with that in mind, I also, as a contractor, I have a lot of experience in looking at plans and seeing where things are frivolous and where things are necessary. And I think that's something that we haven't always had, those kinds of eyes on the assembly of someone who can look at as a project and analyze things that are perhaps not needed and wasteful. I think we've had some projects that were very expensive, and some things that are being built right now that are extremely expensive and could have been a lot more modest.
Tim.
Well, thank you, Ellie. I think we really need to concentrate on the waterfront being our most valuable asset. It has been a long, arduous road. I think we're moving in the right direction with bringing a third party to facilitate. And, you know, kind of give us a feel of what we have. We know what we have. We need help. As David said, we're all residents here that are serving on the assembly. No one's an expert on the whole waterfront and the complexities, and we need help, and we need to admit that, and we need to pursue it with a professional company to help us out there. But we do need to take the lead. We need to go forward. We have a horrible housing problem that needs to be addressed. We have a lot of illegal RVs and it goes on every year. We need to come up with some solutions there. The fiscal responsibilities we have, the state mess fiscally, lots on our plate, and I'm willing to serve, and if the community wants me to, so I'm here.
All right, thank you, candidates. Thanks everyone for taking the time.